Perhaps the moon knows the secret of the new sound.
Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 66. On this week's show, we are going to review the latest release from Marvel Studios, Doctor Strange. To my left, as always, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Joining us via Skype is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
And joining us for her first stop over at the Disney Magic Hour is Sarah. Say hello, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. I've got price. Look at the shine. Everything I need. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by MEI Travel for all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, or battling demons in other dimensions or sorceresses, whatever it might be around the globe. Visit the experts over at meitravel.com, where Becky and her team can help you get started on your own magical adventure. Is it strange? Shut up. All right. That was Nicey Nice. You can find that track and more over at soundcloud.com/PogoMix, and you can find all of Pogo's music over at PogoMix.net. Who are we? We are LastGenPodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. Over on Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you can add yourself to our group. We are on iTunes. We are on Google Music Play. You can find all of our older episodes and newer ones that haven't come out yet over at soundcloud.com/DisneyMagicHourPodcast. Melissa, photos.
On Instagram at Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome, everyone, to a new frontier
of
sorcery.
Magic.
No one talks like that in the film. It's actually kind of disappointing. I was hoping for at least one. Sarah, what's up?
Hello.
People, you may remember Sarah if you used to listen to, or you do still listen to, when me and Brian, well, that's two different things. If you listen to the Film Basement when me and Brian were on, Sarah was on a couple of times, actually, giving us her view on usually stuff Marvel related. I think also Comic-Con. Didn't we do a big thing with Comic-Con?
I've only actually been on the show once.
Yeah.
That was for Civil War.
Oh, yeah, Civil War. Okay.
Civil War. Yep.
You were given that was it. You were given the minute to minute when you were in the Marvel room at Comic Con this year, which was a busy year for Marvel again, over in that the main hall. So what was that? Is that the chair? Or was that the front door getting knocked in?
No.
Just the chair.
Just the chair.
All right. Another boring night, I guess. So I welcome you back. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your night, Brian. Whatever. But we are here to discuss the latest release in the never-ending releases of Marvel Studios, and it is another introduction to the masses of a character that I would say most of them do not know, very akin to when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I think, would be somewhere, you know, right in that area. And I was surprised to see how well it was initially received, but you know, I've also heard some rumblings about the same old out of Marvel. Pretty much is what, if there were negatives, and there were, that was what I'd heard. So let's get into a little bit of the background, though, just into the people who put together the latest film. It's directed by Scott Derrickson, and I know that we talked about this once before, but this was an interesting choice because he is mainly known for horror films. He was the director behind Sinister, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Deliver Us from Evil, and the insanely forgettable 2008 remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. But I found it, I really found that an interesting choice when they were making a lot of announcements that they weren't going with someone who had a pedigree for action films or this or that. Like, they went for a horror guy to tell a story that would introduce real magic into the Marvel universe, because up till now, we had always gotten it's science that we don't understand.
Yeah.
Has always been the magic excuse so far. But this was the first time that they were like, no, there's actual magic.
Is it magic with a K?
I don't know. Does that matter?
No, I don't know. I just remember like seeing that somewhere. I don't know where.
Is that magic?
I feel like that was like a thing.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think it. Are you talking about the card game?
No.
Is
no,
it okay?
Like I feel
maybe,
like it,
maybe it's one of those lost between Fox, Sony, and Marvel things.
Yeah, who knows?
Or maybe it was just in one of the comics I was reading. I don't know.
Could have been. The cinematography is actually done by Ben Davis. He's actually done a fair amount of Marvel stuff, been involved in a lot, but he was the DP on Guardians of the Galaxy, Age of Ultron. He also shot Kick-Ass, and he also was a DP for Stardust, which featured Charlie Cox, who is now Daredevil on the Netflix show, when he played the lead character in that film, Tristan, which is, in my opinion, a very underappreciated adaptation of the Neil Gaiman novel. Also in Stardust, Superman, Henry Cavill, is in there as Tristan's kind of nemesis, Humphrey. So I enjoyed figuring that out, and I did not know that was Henry Cavill.
I want to go back to that movie because I haven't watched it in so long.
He's only in the very beginning, yeah, Henry Cavill.
But even so.
And the end.
Yeah, right? They show, because he goes back to town. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I barely remember anything of that.
It's really great.
So yeah, I want to.
It's a really great. I have that one.
Yeah.
I definitely have that one. It made, in its opening weekend, talking about Doc Strange, $85 million. And I think sort of one of the key things to this is the runtime. It's only an hour and 55 minutes.
Which is perfect.
Which is fine. And also, when we compare that to Civil War, which just came out, that was 2 hours, 27 minutes. That, I believe, was the longest Marvel film. But I think that's a good choice overall because there's just not as much story to tell in this particular film because it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Well, because this one was also there to set up Infinity Wars more than anything and his connection to Thor Ragnarok. Mm.
Yeah, but that would have been my primary concern was, is this going to be another, we just got to get this guy into position so we can have him show up with, you know, everyone recognizing him in the next film? But I'll say that I didn't think it actually ran into that problem, but we'll go into that. We'll go into that towards the end of it. Towards the cast, I just wanted to sort of focus. Obviously, Benedict Cumberbatch is Doc Strange.
Yay.
Everyone knows that. And if you didn't know this, Benedict Cumberbatch actually has a second role in the movie.
I did know this.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I found out anyway.
Well, there goes that.
Well, nobody else knows.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah, I didn't
so what
know
is
that.
He, all right, so what does he do?
He also did the motion capture for Dormammu.
Come on, try it again.
Is that how you pronounce it?
There's an R in there.
There is?
Yeah, Dormammu.
Dormammu.
He also did the voice.
Yeah, but I heard the, I think it was the director, said his voice and another British actor who also has a deep voice. It was like a blend of their voices.
Okay, all
but
right.
I could not find a name to pair with said other British actor.
Okay, all right. Well, I figure, hey, man, if you have Smaug there.
Maybe it's Idris Elba or something.
Let Smaug speak.
Because he's like another British actor with a deep voice.
And he's also
a tiger, yeah.
Actual tiger.
Actual tiger.
Oh, he's already in the Marvel Universe, so yeah. I don't know if they would do that.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, even though it's just the voice, like, yeah.
I don't know if they have the same British accents either. Sorry, I just totally.
It's okay. Tilda Swinton is in this as well. She is the Ancient One. There was a lot of controversy, I guess, as a way of putting it, due to the Ancient One being of Asian descent in the books and whatnot. There's a lot of the whitewash thing. I understand the comment. I understand the concern with it. Yeah, thank you. But I kind of loved her in the role, actually.
Mm-hmm. I kind of liked it, too.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor, who plays Mordo. And if you've not seen this man in the film Children of Men, that was directed by Alphonse Cuarón, you absolutely should see that movie. Not only because he's really great in it, but that movie is spectacular. And this was a weird, but I was saying this before the show. I ran into a little bit of a rabbit hole on this one. And so I love Children of Men. That came out in 2007. It was not even nominated for Best Picture. The movies nominated that year were The Queen, Little Miss Sunshine, Letters from Iwo Jima, Babel, and The Departed, which actually won. But also what's interesting is Cars came out that year. And Cars lost in the animation category to Happy Feet, which was directed by George Miller.
What?
Yes. Mad Max.
Wow.
Mad Max Fury Road. George Miller did the Dancing Penguin movie, which I actually sat through.
In IMAX.
In IMAX.
Yeah.
Because Melissa wanted to see it. And it was this one of the strangest things I've ever seen. In hindsight, it makes perfect sense that George Miller directed that movie. And of course, Wolverine is singing in it. So you know what? Everyone's in a superhero film. That's the thing. We are officially in the 6 degrees of superhero film.
Yeah, really.
You know, like Kevin Bacon is done. You can probably do 3 degrees of superhero films.
Well, to be fair, you can do Kevin Bacon too.
Oh, that's right, because he's an X-Men. Yeah. That's right. Okay, yeah. So, of course he is. Which, by the way, for you X-Men fans, it's just like the Marvel Universe. It's getting a reboot again. And Deadpool's third film is already being planned when the second film just lost its director and doesn't have a script. So, way to go, Fox. All right, so let's get into
You
want to talk about it?
I have the rest of the cast.
Yeah, but there's too many of them.
No.
No. We're not.
There's like three more.
All right, go. You want to talk about Wong? Because I want to talk about Wong.
Yeah.
Talk about Wong.
It's Benedict Wong as Wong.
It's great.
I love it.
I just like it.
He looks so different with hair also. Can we like talk about that?
Yeah.
Because his IMDb picture does not look like how he looks in this movie.
Isn't he also in Marco Polo, the Netflix series?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
I'm pretty sure he is. And he's pretty great in that.
Cool.
I've only watched like 20 minutes of it scattered.
Yeah, he's in it.
He is. Okay. Every scene that I've seen, everything that I forward to, it's always him though. And I'm always like, I like this guy. I like this guy a lot. So let's talk about some other people, though.
Well, okay. Like who?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Okay.
Yes, I was, yeah.
What was his name again? His character name?
Caecilius.
Caecilius. I actually couldn't remember how to say it correctly.
I'm going to assume that's how you say it.
Mads Mikkelsen, you will see him again in a little, a month? When we jump over to Rogue One, he has a role in that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And obviously, I think a lot of people would know him from Hannibal. And he also played a phenomenal Bond villain in Casino Royale. Remember the weeping blood out of the eye? He plays our villain. And just really quick on that, I like him in this role. I don't think he has enough to do. No. I don't think they really nope. I think he's one of the better Marvel villains, but I don't really think that's saying much. I at least enjoyed when he was on screen, but
yeah.
They did not give him a lot of time to breathe. It was sort of like, hey man, you've got to get this thing and then make this happen. There was not a lot of interplay between him and Strange, but the one scene where they do share a dialogue, I thought was really great. But
yeah.
Marvel, once again, kind of doesn't hit the target on the villain thing. And they have spectacular actors doing this. I will say the last movie, though, Baron Zemo in Civil War, he's right underneath Loki for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's right underneath Loki. I couldn't think of who would go between them, actually. I mean, I don't know.
There's nobody that I can think of that would go between them.
Nothing, right?
Because a lot of them haven't been the type of villain that they would have wanted to have a reason to bring back. The ones that they seem to want to be able to bring back, they seem to spend a little bit more time with them.
Yeah. Well, they also seem to be the most human villains out of all of them, right? Or the most relatable villains.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that helps also.
Because, like, I would like to say, like, Bucky from Winter Soldier, but that's a stretch because you knew. Yeah. During the whole thing, like, oh, he's not
going to stay the villain.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Who else do we have in this, Melissa?
Rachel McAdams is in it for a small bit.
Never heard of her.
Rachel McAdams? You never heard of her? Never. She was in a great HBO show called True Detective Season 2.
Oh, man. Come on. She's got a body of work, that one. She actually really does. She's great in this.
She is,
It's a very simple role.
Christine Palmer is also known as Night Nurse, which I thought was interesting.
But they're not making her Night Nurse.
Yeah,
no, I know they're not, because they already have that in Daredevil. I just thought that was interesting.
She's a doctor.
Yeah, that's also true. She's a doctor.
El Doctor.
She's the Night Doctor. I don't know.
I thought that was... I was always kind of wondering what they were going to do with that, because, you know, we already all think of Rosario Dawson. She is definitely...
Yeah, she's the Night Nurse. Yeah.
She's well on her way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you right now, if they try to do something edgy and kill her, I will not be happy.
Who, Rosario?
I think there might be riots.
I think that would suck.
Yeah, no, I don't.
It seems like too obvious to go with that, in my opinion. In a very small role, but God, I love this dude and everything he does. Michael Stolberg, as Nicodemus West, which, number one, I hear Nicodemus, I think a secret on him. But I'm a big fan of this guy. He's in Serious Man, Boardwalk Empire. Melissa, were you remembering him from Men in Black?
I was. We looked him up, I was like, oh, he was the guy with like half a head.
That's right. Yeah. I actually still haven't sat through the whole third one.
I actually really like it.
I heard it's really good.
I like it better than two.
Yeah.
Well, that's not saying much.
Two, you know what? It's not two's fault, though. They lost the ending of their film because of 9/11, actually. That was originally all going to take place with the World Trade Center, and obviously they had to change things. I absolutely adore him, though, in Hugo. He has a small role in Hugo as well towards the end of the film. But, he's sort of just a throw-in as one of the other doctors here. But when he's on screen, I really love him.
Yeah.
It took me a while to realize that was Rothstein from Boardwalk.
Yeah.
When I first saw him, because I don't know. It took me a little bit. And then I'm like, I know him. And then it finally hit halfway through seeing him in the movie.
He always looks the same, but it looks like it seems like his weight goes up and down a lot in films.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, or it's just the way he's shot. Like sometimes his face looks a little chunky and other times he looks very, very slim.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. And actually, Benjamin Bratt is alive.
Yeah.
He's got a role in this.
He does.
Jonathan Pangborn, which turns out to be a pretty important character, especially if, you know, you stay through the whole thing. A pretty important character, something that has a lot of effect on maybe the future of the Marvel Universe, and particularly with Doc Strange himself. So, Melissa, music, do you want to talk about
it? Yeah, I actually also wanted to go back to the Nicodemus West character, because he has like a big part in Doc Strange, like in like the comics. And I thought it was really interesting. Like, he's like almost on like the same track as Doc Strange. Like, he goes and studies with them. What?
Well, I don't know if anyone wants to know that yet. That's why I didn't know.
It's from the comics. You go on Wikipedia, you find it.
But people don't do that because they just want to see it in the movie.
No. Well, nothing about that is in this movie, so nobody.
Okay. But yeah, I don't think that Michael Stolberg is there just to carry people's coats. That's the one thing that Marvel has a tough time hiding, though, now. Because there's a lot definitely. Of places
well,
where
that
like,
would have been hidden. That would have been hidden for me because I didn't know that. But that's okay.
It's called Wikipedia, Brian.
I know, but I don't Wikipedia things that I don't want to know.
Go with the assumption if they tell you the character's name, they could potentially be important.
I guess that's a good rule of thumb because I'm looking at the IMDb listing right now, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4 zealots.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
They don't have names. It's Brunette Strong, although Lucien is in there as well. Brunette Strong and Blonde. And it's just Zealot. So you know they don't matter. Like they are the red shirts of this film, basically.
Didn't they wear red?
Some of them probably did.
Yeah,
Burgundy. Yeah, they might have.
Sweet
actually.
Burgundy.
Yeah, they were in Burgundy.
That counts.
Talk about the music, Melissa.
It was done by our guy, Michael Giacchino.
Yep. And that is why this might be the first Marvel soundtrack I pick up on vinyl that isn't just a collection of 70s and 80s rock songs. This was the first thing that I was like, oh, this has a melody. I know that, you know, the Avengers theme, if you played it for me right now, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the theme when the Avengers title comes up.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't recognize every other minute or second in front or behind of that score.
Yeah, this really complimented the movie. Like, I was in love with it.
And they need this. Like, this is sort of something, this is kind of synonymous with superhero films, is getting that top, you know, that hook, you know, that sound. Even, you know, Nolan's Batman had a phenomenal theme. They didn't use it enough in the third film, in my opinion, but it's there. Wonder Woman, for the small amount that we've seen her so far in the DC universe, that theme sticks out a lot.
Yeah,
maybe a little too much, but whatever, it's fine. You know, Superman's original theme is obviously one of the classics. The Tim Burton theme by Danny Elfman for Batman is one of the classics.
Yeah,
Marvel needs to start honing in on this and Villains, because it tackles one of their other problems in a very smart, cool way that we'll get to when we get to the finale of the film and whatnot. So let's just talk about our impressions of the film overall, though, and then we'll go into a little more detail if we'd like to.
Okay.
Which we will, because I like to. Let's just start with Did you enjoy the film or not? And Sarah, you're the guest. Why don't you go first?
The first time I saw it, I enjoyed it, but I had a hard time really, like, enjoying it because I was in terrible seats and it gave me a headache for the 3D. Ah. But the second time I saw it, I definitely was feeling it a lot more. But that's also because second viewings always make certain things pop out a little more. And since you already know what's coming, you can focus on the little things. I did like their little ties to older movies and future movies. I thought those were fit in very well.
We'll talk about that one in particular later.
Yeah.
The Lightning Bolt. Two? Okay. Two. Well, yeah. Okay.
Old and new.
Okay. All right.
But I thought that out of all of the movies, the effects stood out the best, which it made it very easy to justify spending the extra money to see it in IMAX.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll actually say this was worth. We didn't see it in IMAX, but we got the 3D ticket. And although the theater we went to, I think the lights and the projector were too low just by like a half stop. But I was happy to pay the 3D for this. And I actually will buy it in 3D when it comes out.
Yeah.
Which for Marvel films, that really hasn't been a thing for me unless the price is almost exactly the same. And then I'm like, why not?
Because they don't really tend to. They're not utilizing their 3D potential as much as they could. Like, there's not enough pop to it. Yeah. This one has the bright lights and colors that make it stand out.
Yeah, yeah. It lends itself to that shooting sight a little more.
Right.
So overall,
and also
though,
the trippy Inception feeling.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I mean, I thought that was a good move, is that they put that out in the trailers.
Yeah.
So
but the sheer scale of it.
Like, yeah, that they hid
in a commercial versus watching it in the theater.
Yeah.
Is
yeah, they
like,
did a good job
hiding.
I feel
bad for anyone that suffers from motion sickness.
Mm.
I mean, actually, especially after our recent, how Mike reacted to the strobe lights.
Oh, yeah. At Halloween Horror Nights,
you know, I could see someone going into here and kind of get a little beat up if they're very susceptible to that sort of thing. Brian, what were you? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But my coworker did see it with a D-Box the other night.
Oh, how'd that go?
He said it was the craziest experience he's ever seen and that it worked really well with the movie.
Okay, so for people who are unaware of what D-Box is very limited theaters, but I believe there's one in New York now and there's one in
Island
LA.
Island 16.
Island 16 is a D-Box
they
now?
Apparently, they just renovated like in the last month and a half and one of the theaters now has a D-Box.
Interesting. So D-Box is motion seats, basically. It's kind of going for that 4D experience, and I guess they're going to pop up more and more because they got to think of some more reasons to get people in actual theaters. That's not an easy sell nowadays, especially because people. Brian, what was your thoughts on Doc Strange?
I really liked it. I knew nothing of Doc Strange going in. I thought the acting was good. I liked all the characters. There wasn't one that I disliked. I am a big fan of magic. I play magic characters a lot of times and things. And I really like that aspect that they added to the universe. And while it felt like a lot of Marvel movies, it also was different enough for me that I don't think it was it was different enough that I really enjoyed it. And speaking to the motion sickness stuff, there was one scene where I didn't get motion sickness, but I had to look away from the screen for a second because my eyes were like, I don't know, like I just like kind of got like a little bit of like,
did you lose focus a bit?
Vertigo.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of like lost focus. Like I just kind of felt like, whoa. Like, so I just had to look away and then I gave myself like 5 seconds and I looked back and I was fine.
Oh, that's
but interesting. It's that main chase. Well, not really giving anything away because it was in the trails, but it's in the big chase scene that they have.
Okay.
With like
the Inception,
The Inception stuff. Yeah. I don't know if it was just the way I was sitting off to the side of the theater. I don't know because normally that stuff doesn't bother me, but it was nothing that ruined the experience for me. But it did give me a little sense of like a vertigo type feeling. Yeah, I was really happy with it. Kyle loved it. Who's
Kyle?
Really enjoyed it. What was that?
Who's Kyle?
He's some kid that I just, like, you know, I take to the movies sometimes and everything. Yeah.
Does he have a job?
No.
Get a job.
His job is to ask me for money. He really liked it. He was pretty good. Like, he followed the story and everything. And he enjoyed. I was a little worried that he might not. Like, he wanted to see it just because it's a Marvel movie. But I thought it might be a little too much for him in terms of, like, the storytelling and, you know, the different dimension type of stuff like that. But no, he really loved it.
All right, cool. Melissa, this was, if I remember correctly, your most anticipated Marvel film when we went over, like, the future releases.
Yeah.
This was your number one.
It was definitely up there. I really was anticipating it. I love Benedict Cumberbatch, and I was really excited to see him in this. I've only had a very light experience with Doc Strange, particularly in the new Marvel reboot in the comics of
Secret Wars.
Yeah. And I really liked him.
That was a really cool take on Strange.
Yeah. So I was kind of like really excited to see
take on it.
His, you know, I guess, origin story. And I really loved it. I loved the casting. I loved the music. I thought the special effects were great. And I think the time limit of the movie really helped, because I never felt that it dragged. I never felt that, even though it was an origin story, it was like an origin story and kind of, you know, that way that they can stretch out and like have to explain everything. And I don't know. I didn't feel that this was your typical Marvel film. I don't know why. I don't know if I just was more predisposed to like it, but
it 100% looked different than I think all the other Marvel films, which helps.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
What I had hoped was going to happen with Edgar Wright and Ant-Man, I won't say that it happened to the extent that I wanted it to happen there in this film, but I've been pretty vocal about the fact that I don't like that all the films are kind of interchangeable a lot of ways visually, except for when Branagh did Thor, because there was a lot of Dutch angles and he was trying some different stuff, but they all sort of look alike.
Well, I'm not even as sensitive to that as you are. Like, I don't really, you know, notice they all look alike. I don't know. If they're not in black and white, they all look the same. But I don't know. It didn't feel like as interchangeable, I guess, as some people are saying that Marvel movies are. I really liked it. I thought it was a great standalone film. And I didn't feel like it did that whole, like, oh just wait till the next movie.
Yeah. No, I don't think. I mean, it has elements of that, but it didn't.
Like,
hey, we're going to take a 5-minute break because we got to get in this other plot line and then we'll get back to the real thing that you care about. But first, this commercial for Avengers 3, which happened in Ultron.
Yeah.
Which was bad. That, you know, it's bad. Bad, 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 bad. And it felt very like, it felt like a commercial break. You know, where only the middle 3 minutes of a 5-minute trailer were shown to you. But this lived up to your expectation to what you wanted it to be.
Yeah, I was super excited. And I mean, as soon as it was over, I was like, nope, we're buying it. We're buying it in 3D. And I'm like watching it a million times.
We. Yeah, right. Sure.
Yes, we.
I'm sure we will split the cost on that movie.
That's what that nice shiny TV that you bought us for, isn't it?
It is really nice, actually. It's quite nice and quite shiny. There's like a whole saga going on with the future of calibrating HDR and my TV getting in the middle of it. I got in touch with a bunch of people who were ISF pros trained to calibrate TVs and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they all were, you know, pretty upfront. They were like, we don't have the numbers yet for HDR in order to measure it because there's no standard yet. It's just kind of like the wild, wild west. And one guy in particular was like, you know, if you want, I'll come in. I'm going to do the calibration for you the way I would do it, you know, for your TV as is. And if you wouldn't mind me using your living room as like a laboratory for like an afternoon, once we get some HDR numbers, I'll come back and I'll do that portion for you for free. And I was like, all right, yeah, let's do that. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. I'm going to be doing another podcast soon. And my first episode is going to be with a certain Aussie who enjoys music, and we're going to be talking about some the quandaries of 4K would be a way of putting it, because it's kind of weird out there. it's kind of weird out there right now, but it's interesting, but really weird. For me, my take on this film, I really liked it. I don't think it's one of their best. I definitely don't think it's one of their worst. It sits right in the middle with me, but it's above Ant-Man, which was another, like, I enjoyed this kind of film, but I enjoyed this one a lot more. Brian, I'm with you. I really like magic as like a thing in movies. Even when it's not real magic, like, you know, like one of my favorite films is Prestige. You know, I love that movie.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I've always enjoyed like that kind of atmosphere, and I liked it here. And on top of it, it was, you know, seeing Doc Strange up on screen, which is kind of crazy and nuts. And, you know, another thing that, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I would have never thought that I would see stuff like this done so well. Maybe that was kind of, you know, ignorant or whatnot, you know, but I just would have never thought that I would see, you know, these characters that I'd read, you know, when I was younger and stuff, and, you know, read now when I can. Huzzah to the Marvel Unlimited plan, because it's fun and it's actually well worth your money. If you're looking to get into comics and you feel like going to a store and buying books every week is a little intimidating because you don't know what you want to read, granted the app is sort of wild and you have to search your way through it, but at least you know you're getting a ton for one set price a month. I would look into it if you were interested. I understand the, and I agree with a lot of the, hey, this is just Iron Man 2.0. And the opening definitely kind of does that. It hits the same character beats. And overall, the main character goes through the same character beats.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But the visual style of it and the more intricate of other characters, because really Iron Man is about Iron Man, which is amazing. That's great. Because that movie is really just about Tony Stark. And that's really, really awesome. But this movie had to be about a couple of people.
Yeah.
You know, Tony, Strange is in the center, but his surrounding cast matters a lot more than maybe in the first Iron Man. Even though they, you know, they were in other films, I just feel like these seem like they'll have more of a stickability outside of the Strange films, in particular, you know, EG4. And I just really liked their relationship, Strange and EG4's relationship. I loved the music. This was the first one that I, as I said before, actually will remember the music a little bit better. The other films, they've just never done anything for me. And I thought that it took a little bit of a chance with the way that it was almost a nonstop action film.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't take a lot of breaths.
No,
it doesn't. I remember looking and like, wow, this is almost over. And this movie kind of felt like it flew by to me, which is not the norm for these types of movies.
Yeah.
I would have liked maybe 5 minutes less action and cut to, you know, Mikkelsen and his crew, or a previous scene of Mikkelsen having disagreements with Tilda Swinton's The Ancient One. Something to build up on that a little more.
But I almost like that, like, lack of, like, everything you need to know, you kind of learn as Strange learns it. And then, like, you don't go in and being like, oh, okay, well, now I know why these two are enemies, or I know why blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like, if it's hidden to the character, it's hidden to you. And I really like
it. That's a good point, actually. And that works out really well towards the plot.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, reveals and whatnot that come later in the film. But if you have not yet seen Doc Strange and you've enjoyed the Marvel films to this point, I would absolutely say go see it. And if you haven't enjoyed the Marvel films to this point, you don't have to know anything about Marvel to enjoy this film. If you go and, you know, and it's up your alley and whatnot. I think from the trailers and all the info that you've gotten so far, you should know whether or not this is a film for you. But I kind of think it's a movie for everybody. I think they did a good job. It's comedy also. The funny parts are really funny. They're very dry humor also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very dry humor, very Benedict Cumberbatch sort of humor. But I also had to worry about that. I did not want this to be Sherlock Holmes with magic.
Well, I feel like in Sherlock Holmes, like, he's not usually the one making the jokes. Like, some, well, or he attempts, like, but he other people, like,
they're just mean-spirited.
Well, no, they're jokes that other people won't get because, he talks down or whatever. But I feel like in this one, it was more of, like, he was almost like Watson's character in a way.
Okay, I don't know. I don't really go there just because of the overt confidence that he has in the beginning of the film.
No, yeah.
And that's not a Watson thing. But anyways, I like that it wasn't that, because I was worried about that. I thought his accent was perfectly cool.
Yeah.
I had no issue with him using an English American accent because he's just a really good actor. So go see Doc Strange. Now we're going to dive into some more spoilery things. just because I want to talk about really the ending of the film. That's really what it is. The whole rest of the film, there might be some minor points to discuss here and there if we want to talk about Easter eggs in particular. But I really think that the finale of the film and the post credits is something that we could kind of bite into a little bit here. Do you want to actually, you know, what do you want to talk about that Easter egg first? Sarah, you want to get into that? Which was the one you were talking about? Because I was referring to the lightning.
The car ride.
Yeah, the car. Right, yeah. The action. Yes.
So, because at first, he meant when he's being read off the list of cases that are potential clients, the first one that comes up is Rhodey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he turns down fixing Rhodey's back.
Yeah, which is weird.
Is that going to come up when he meets Tony Stark for the first time?
That would be pretty fun.
It would be, but he also kind of got into like a life-altering accident like 10 seconds after that phone call. So
it's totally got to come up because you refused to try to fix my best friend. Had you said yes, you wouldn't have gotten in a car accident.
I guess I would have. You know what, though? If they wanted to make that really impactful, don't heal Rhodey at the very end of Civil War.
Well, he's not healed.
He's got robot legs and he's fine, a robot spine. You know he's going to be fine in the next one.
He's going to become Cyborg. He's going to be the Marvel Cyborg.
Silence yourself. Now, what was the other one?
Totally Captain Marvel.
Yep. There's a great Captain Marvel one in here. The 22-year-old patient who was struck by lightning. So that is a direct... I'm sorry?
Inspired the chip that's controlling her schizophrenia.
Yeah. So that is going to be Carol Danvers. That's going to be Brie Larson's Carol Danvers. It's our first mention of her. And I just thought it was just a great little toss-away line. You know, they've done that a number of times. And this was a good one.
And that's a great for the stuff that I think people that are fans, because I had no idea that that's who that was that they're talking about, because I don't know the comics or any of that stuff. So, you know, that's cool that they have that, you know, and people can be like, oh, you know, get really excited for it.
Yeah. Like, actually, if I remember, it was Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is where Stephen Strange is mentioned for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they say his name.
Yeah. They say his name like to the camera, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So, still, I mean, it was, you know, that,
but. Yeah.
When that no, first cool. happened, yeah, exactly. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then everyone had the theory that the Punisher is the one who drives the truck who kills that guy, because that truck like never stops. It just smashes a human being and just continues driving like nothing happened. Like I'm playing a video game. So everyone's like, that's the Punisher in the truck. It's like, that's timing. Mm-hmm. Based on
And to be fair, Kevin Feige at Comic-Con did not say no to everything crossing over. He would not give a definitive when, but that doesn't mean it hasn't already happened.
I hope it does.
I would love to.
I'd love to see something. I also would love to not know that it's going to happen.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yes, that would be nice.
You know, I mean, how nuts.
You know what? Especially because for this stuff, there's so much stuff that everybody already knows. You know, because it's based on properties that have been around forever. So it would be nice to have some nice little surprises.
Yeah, how great would it be if, like, during a later Avengers movie or something, Luke Cage just punches through a wall, like, into a scene? How nuts would you go? I'd be so happy. Yeah. I want to talk about the villain behind the villain. So we have, you know, Mads Mikkelsen. What's his name?
Caecilius.
Caecilius, if you go by... Tilda Swinton.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Well, yeah, we'll go by Swinton.
I love her.
Swinton rules all. Caecilius, he is really sort of working for a larger Marvel villain, which this was voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch.
And he did the motion capture.
And the motion capture for Dormammu. And
because it's not like he didn't do that in The Hobbit, too.
That's why, I was saying before, like, when you got Smaug... Don't be wasting Smaug. He's right there.
It's just the voice. He has the best voice.
He really has a great voice. I think that his the Frankenstein thing is going to be appearing again in theaters for Fandango events.
Oh, cool.
I believe that's going to be coming around. This was, I thought, one of the coolest Marvel villain battles because no one threw a damn punch.
I loved this.
Well, maybe a mystical punch. Or, you know, mystical chains and
what
stuff
was
like
thing?
This.
Oh, I've come to bargain with you?
I've come to bargain.
Yeah.
It reminded me of I guess it would be my favorite. I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely loved that solo Peter Capaldi Doctor Who episode where he's punching the ice wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, you learn that he's been doing this for, like, I don't know, millions of years. Like, slowly one punch destroying, like, a brick wall of ice. And according to the director, Doc Strange dies, like, thousands of times.
Yeah.
In this, you know, in this scene that you're watching play over and over and over and over again. Beating Dormammu just into submission of tiresomeness, you know, or just like knowing that he's just stuck.
It's like when you're like a parent and your kid just keeps like bugging you and finally you're just like, okay, yes, whatever you want, just like stop now.
Yeah. So I loved that because number one, it didn't kill the villain that we'd been watching the whole film. He just got red skulled out of the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dormammu is obviously still there. And he's going to have a lot of reasons to want to get back at Stephen Strange. So, and to the director, this is actually a quote from his, because just to give this a little bit of a background, I am so sick and tired of a portal being opened in an earth or whatever, and things being sucked into it or spit out of it, and you have to close that hole while the city gets destroyed. I'm so bored of it. I never want to see it again. But the way they did it this time, this is Derrickson's quote. It was literally the play on the whole, every Marvel movie ends with the city being destroyed during a fight, and then a portal that opens is closed just in time. I said, well, damn it, we're going to go and undestroy a city, and we're going to leave the portal open, and Strange is going to go into it, and then we're going to see what's on the other side. So I thought that was great. And I was very happy with that climactic thing because I don't want to see Stephen Strange punch somebody into submission. I don't want to see, like, you know, in the second Star Trek reboot film, I don't want the main thing, which actually also Benedict Cumberbatch, I don't want the main thing to be Spock punching people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is not.
To be fair, he couldn't punch people. How much did he hurt his hand punching that door?
But
he could not punch people even if he wanted to.
Mystical gloves.
Mystically punched him.
He could have mystically punched him with his brain. That's telekinesis, Kyle. So I was really happy with the conclusion of this. Mel, what did you think about the Dormammu finale?
I liked it. I think that's why I like this movie so much. It was more of a cerebral one, you know. It wasn't like he had a little bit of like the training sequence with
Morbo. Mordo.
I was gonna say that's not his name. There's a D in
Earth
there.
Earth is doomed.
But like, just the more of the mystical aspects and then the cerebral like fight, I really enjoyed it. I think that's why I really liked this movie more than anything, because it wasn't just a straight up like action, like, you know, we're gonna punch
but there
things.
Was a lot
no,
of
no,
that,
I know
though.
There was a lot of action, but there wasn't like the
psychic swords.
I
it was
like
more
that.
Like Harry whole Potter action.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying, like, there was a span in this film where it was like a 45-minute action sequence with like 3 minutes of talking in the middle of it. Like,
yeah, the whole fight through the Hong Kong or the New York, whichever place it was, I don't remember, whichever one they were at. But that whole time, that was nothing but a giant fight scene.
Yeah, it was. But it was
good.
But
nobody was like punching each other. Yeah, that's what I really liked. It wasn't like there were weapons. But like they were mystical.
And he didn't need to punch people because his magical cape would punch people.
Yeah.
That cape needs a different name because that name does not fit what that all that cape does.
That was my favorite.
It's totally like the flying carpet.
Yes.
It's the cape of destruction is what it should be called because that thing single-handedly could take out an army.
I was
the
thinking
cape of comfort. It totally wiped away his tears.
I was kind of thinking like this is very Aladdin's rug.
I loved it. It was like, you know, pulling him like away, like, no, let me show you something different.
If you would have called them tassels, it would have been
To be fair, the inside is kind of tartan looking, so it could have been a rug.
Could have been, for all we know. Magic! So I was very, very happy with that. A change of pace, finally, for a villain fight, quote unquote, at the end of a Marvel film. And then we have our two post-credit sequences, as is tradition calls.
And still, so many people left the theater when we went to see it.
Yeah, well, like, well, not for the first one, for the second one.
Well, the first one is like right after the short credits, so that's okay. But yeah, like still after the...
I just love how no one ever says like, hey, you should just stick around. Everyone's like, schmucks.
It's like, oh.
Just watch them leave.
They really had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like humanity. We won't even let people know, hey, there's another scene. No.
They told us when we bought the tickets. Like when we were... ripping the tickets. Somebody told us that, like, it's two post-credit scenes.
Okay. Well,
nobody still, listens.
Whatever. I don't know if they told that to everyone in the theater, though. There's two post-credit scenes.
So did they
scenes.
Think
There's
that you guys
scenes.
Were going to leave? And
yeah, like, I don't know. They were really worried about you.
Shut up.
Like, we got to tell this one.
Fake nerd. The first post-credit sequence basically gets us ready for... Or, I have a theory about this scene. Gets us ready for Ragnarok... with Thor, or happens around the middle of Ragnarok, because Thor seems to know things that he shouldn't know yet.
Yeah. I think it either happens then or maybe at the end, because he specifically says, well, I hope you find your father. So Thor knows that his father is
somewhere else. Yeah.
His father.
Yeah.
So to give, you know, at for the whoever's, end of Dark World. Yeah, so whoever's unaware, at the end of Thor the Dark World, Loki fakes his own death and then takes over as Odin, as in, like, he takes on the appearance of Odin and he's Odin. So we don't know where real Odin is. And, you know, Loki is acting as him and being king. So in this post-credit sequence, though, yeah, Thor, like, the cat's out of the bag. He knows that Loki was impersonating his father, and now he's got to try to find his father.
He doesn't know that he was impersonating him. He just, because he knows that his father was not his father.
Right, yeah.
He knows his father's missing.
He doesn't necessarily know that Loki was impersonating.
Oh, he didn't say Loki's name?
He did, but he said he's working. The reason he's bringing Loki to New York is to find Odin.
Yeah.
He never said that he found out that Loki was Odin.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
He seemed a little too okay with working with him to find him.
Oh, I think it's a more of, if you don't help me, I'm going to kill you sort of thing. Which they've kind of done already, but I mean, they might be doing that spiel again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that definitely does not, that does not make me think that that is the beginning of Ragnarok.
No.
And now I want to see how much is Stephen Strange actually involved in Ragnarok.
I just like the
because
mug.
If he is,
yes.
They really kept that quiet.
Yeah, they did.
You know, if they have him in the film for a decent amount, they really, really kept that quiet. So I'm very, very excited about that. And I still can't wait to see Thor and Hulk in that film. And, man, who would have, I've enjoyed the Thor film so far. The second one, I don't know. I think they botched the enemy really badly with a phenomenal actor.
Yeah. Again,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, with Eccleston. But now talking about the second closer, this was the one I was really excited about. And that is the introduction of Baron Mordo. Chiwetel Ejiofor's character of Mordo during the film, it's interesting. He is a true believer who now no longer believes, or, you know, like, he's a fundamentalist who's ultimately now a non-fundamentalist. So he goes the reverse, and his belief now is that there are too many sorcerers, and he has figured out a way to steal
magic,
the powers of a sorcerer from their body. So he's kind of, look, you want to call it Shang Tsung? You can call it sort of Shang Tsung-y, but I really love that. I love this dude as an actor, and I want him to be the villain that you can agree with in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I hope that they do with him, and I think that's where they're going. Because that's always been the biggest problem is, villains always work better when you can agree with them from a certain point of view.
Yeah, he brings that the element that we were talking about before that I think Zemo did, and even Loki to some extent.
Yeah.
To a lot of extent, actually, because his issues are issues that a lot of people would have. Like, they have human problems. They're not just, you know, like these giant galactic beings that
galactic want to destroy beings? Earth.
You know what I mean? Deans.
Or a Nazi.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, they have very human elements, and you can kind of see why they do what they do or how they've gotten to be to the point where they are, and you can sympathize with them for a little bit, and that makes the best enemies, the best villains to me.
And with
is
more,
the ones you can sympathize with.
Maybe with a little better development or structuring or whatever, Ultron should have been right up our alley.
Ultron should have been also,
like,
yeah.
That, so that should have been somebody that you were like, you know what? Yeah, everything was kind of fine until everyone started saying I'm a superhero. You know, there's a definite direct correlation in that. And you can, you know, the argument would be, oh, but they're saving the Earth. And it's like, yeah, but no one needed them before that. Mm-hmm. So did they create a void that then had to be filled? You know, it's
well,
sort of
that,
like
that Vision says.
Yeah, it's like the Batman Joker thing. You know, without me, there would be no you. And without you, there would be no me. So if we both went away, everything would probably be fine. But neither one of us wants to go away. You know, so that's a great, fun element of superhero stuff that I really don't think that they've nailed yet in the film.
No, I think
they would have if Ledger didn't pass. I think that would have been a lot of that third movie would have been, you know, because they set it up in that final scene when he's hanging upside down. He's, you know, I think we're destined to do this for a long time. And that line, every time I see that movie, just breaks my damn heart.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, God, there's no way Nolan put that line in and then wasn't going to have him be the third film. Like, he was going to be the third film.
Yeah.
Or at least turning into him, you know, eventually. You know, it would have started somewhere else and then enter the Joker or something like that. But, woof, what a bummer that was. What else? You know, that's pretty much the spoiler area of those. I just really had a great time with this movie.
Oh, I was going to say, I like the reveal of, you know, the whole with the Ancient One where she's with Strange and they're watching the Thunderbolt when she dies. I love that. That was my favorite scene.
That scene was a great scene, and Tilda Swinton is so great. If you've never seen Michael Clayton with George Clooney and Tilda Swinton, you should absolutely see that movie.
We need to talk about Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's I actually haven't seen that, but it's on Netflix.
Oh, it's so good.
By the way, people, that's the name of the film. Not like we're not talking about a dude that we know named Kevin, like Kevin Scott. Like, it's a movie called but we do need to talk about Kevin Scott. But, you know, we need to talk about Kevin is another film that
she's. It's the reason that I like the guy that's supposed to play the Flash for DC as an actor. He's Kevin.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Ezra Miller?
Yep.
That's his name, right? Okay. All right, well, I think that's pretty good for a review of a movie. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I want to talk about one other thing.
It drives me crazy. They didn't dry their hands when they were kissing.
Stop yourself. I want to talk about the Eye of Agamotto and the larger impact that it will have on the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, because I think was really great because it was one of the first films I felt where they just came out and were like, this is Infinity Stone. Like,
Well, at the end of the movie, they did.
No, they...
Guardians of the Galaxy, they did.
Yeah, they called that an Infinity
they
Stone.
Told,
also,
well, because that they also tell the whole story about them.
Yeah, that one they did the whole thing. But yeah, like in all the other ones where they were kind of like playing with them but not playing with them.
Well, I don't know if they really had their whole plan in place.
No, I know.
With the Tesseract. Because the Tesseract was really the only one that was ultra vague. Because to Marvel fans, that was a cosmic cube.
Well, yeah, even to the Aether. Mm-hmm. Like the Aether becoming...
Yeah, but that ends with them giving it to the... Let me get into this because I have this thing I wanted to read it out to people.
Right.
No.
So basically, that's another one of the Infinity Stones. We would call this the Time Gem, really. Actually, War of the Gems. Check it out. Great game. But this would be the Time Infinity Stone, the one that is actually in the Eye of Agamotto. Where are the other stones, you may be asking yourself? Because, man, Thor's... Thor. Woof. Thanos. Really has to get on his bike and start pedaling around the galaxy.
His floaty chair.
Because we have the Space Stone, a.k.a. the Tesseract or the Cosmic Cube, if you're an old-school Marvel person, I guess, because that word doesn't work in this universe. That is currently in Odin's vault. The Reality Stone, which was the stone from Dark World, Thor the Dark World, that's with the Collector. Which seems like an awful idea by everyone in Asgard who made that decision, but that's where it is.
Yep.
The Power Stone, not the Dreamcast game, Brian, but the Power Stone from Guardians, that is over with the Nova Corps. That was at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy. And the Mind Stone is in Vision, literally. And Time Stone is in the Eye, but we are now missing one, the Soul Stone, which is such a Marvel thing because... if you're going to kill a really big character, maybe one that wields a shield possibly in your future, because the other actor has a lot of movies on his contract and one of them doesn't, maybe you want to do that for a little while. Soulstone will work. Get that man lost in his whatever, or you can use a time one and get him lost. So that's our current state of the Infinity Gems or Stones, whatever they want to call them nowadays.
Stones.
And these Stones. And Stones. To give you the future releases of the Marvel U, May 5th, 2017, we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Then we have November 3rd for Thor Ragnarok. That's great. So great. Yes.
Homecoming is July 2017, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, July is in there. I wonder how much that's going to be tied in with everything else. We will see.
I don't know.
Avengers Infinity War, if they're still sticking with that name, that's May 4th, 2018. Then the second part to that, or Avengers number 4, I don't, you know, they changed the titles on that one now. That's May 3rd, 2019. So nothing in between those. Keep that in mind.
Yeah?
Well, March is...
when's Captain Marvel?
Pete, just give me all the answers right now. Stop.
I know. It's incredible.
Come on.
Captain Marvel's going to be March 8th, evidently, of 2019.
Okay.
So I guess they're kind of getting her in there at the last minute. These dates are all kind of backwards. Sorry about that. Ant-Man and Wasp is also 2018, though. That's July 6th. And Black Panther is also 2018, February 16th.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
Just
there should have been a
couple. All these dates got all shuffled around,
yeah.
Remember?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, there should have been stuff in between the two Avengers movies. And then, in particular, I was thinking of Black Panther.
So right now, we have another 8 films. Oh, my God. Another 8 films coming out in the next 2 years.
Cool.
No, 3.
8 films and how many TV shows?
Yeah,
that's true. Actually, 3 years, because 2019. We are stretching it to 2019. But yeah, 3, that's quite a lot. But comics come out every week, so I don't know. I'm not really surprised. All right, so that is our look at Doc Strange. I can wholly say I think you guys will enjoy it if you go and check it out.
Yeah, and if you... maybe like 3D or have gone to see things in 3D and you're okay with that, I would definitely recommend it in 3D. It was worth it. It's a beautiful film. The special effects are really gorgeous, and I think it really lends itself to the 3D.
All right. Do you want to go to the Facebook page? Yes. Let's go to the Facebook page, and we're going to discuss. I basically put up – I also – you know, every week we go to the Facebook page. And I ask you guys to put up any questions or whatnot that you want to talk about with Disney in here. And I also thrown in, let us know your favorite non-Avengers Marvel film. I don't care if it was made by Fox or whatever. You know, it's, you know, whatever. So Robert Clark is the first one up this week. And he asks, what are your most recommended attractions to reserve ahead of time with FastPass Plus? Also, which attraction will be the hardest to secure a reservation for? Let's start with that one first, because then there's a second one. Just basically saying about his Disneyland, being a Disneyland local, FastPass Plus and Magic Band related experiences are kind of foreign to him and frankly seem a bit awkward. However, I've read mostly positive experiences about them. Sorry, I remain optimistic. Rob, I'm telling you right now, I absolutely love FastPass Plus.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah, I love being able to show up at Magic Kingdom at 6 o'clock and already have FastPasses that I made the day before or whenever. All set up for me, because if I just showed up at 6 o'clock every night, everything is like 45 minutes at least. And I just am not interested in really waiting that long. So it might take a little bit for you to get used to, but I think you'll really enjoy it. What are your most recommended attractions to reserve ahead of time? I think it kind of ties in with your, which attraction is the hardest to secure for.
Yeah.
I think they're sort of related. So
the only park I would say that may not be the keys is Magic Kingdom, because there's so many more in there. I feel like the other parks have, like, these are the ones you get fast passes for, and these are the ones that you can wait because they're usually not terrible.
But I actually, see, I wouldn't say that, because I think the wait times in Magic Kingdom are so extreme that you want a fast pass for Peter Pan if you want to see Peter Pan.
You want
a fast pass for Dwarves Mine Train if you want to go on the Dwarves Mine Train.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be like 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Oh, did I misunderstand what you said?
Maybe I said it wrong.
All right.
I meant like there are certain, there's a lot more in Magic Kingdom that will have extended wait times, and you can only choose 3. But I feel like in the other parks, you choose 3 fast passes, and then everything else, like, is not really a big deal. Like, I maybe Hollywood Studios is the only one that where maybe you miss out on one thing, but it's usually not a big deal.
Yeah. So
I think he's also going with young kids, if I remember.
Well, what would your recommended attractions be for Fast Pass, just overall?
We'll go park by park.
Go ahead.
Okay. So
Magic Kingdom.
No, that's last. You and your crazy rules. No, you do Animal Kingdom. You get definitely do the safari. Everest, if you want to go on there, if you're not doing the young children stuff. No. And Dinosaur, I guess.
If you want to. I think, Dinosaurs, yeah, that's fine. That's the one I use. Those are the three I usually pick.
Those are the three, yeah.
Those are always the three.
And Safari, I would recommend doing either an early one or try and get a late one, because those seem to be the best times to do the Safari, where the animals are the most active, either in the morning or a late one.
Yeah.
So what park do we have to go to next?
Epcot.
Okay. What's the ones at Epcot? Because now you have to choose.
Well, yeah. Honestly, I would choose Soarin'. If you're going with little kids, I would... You know, choose Frozen. Can you choose Frozen and Soarin' or no?
No, you cannot.
They're in the same tier.
They're in the same tier.
You know what? Then I would choose,
because everyone would just take the three rides that you're going to say then.
Well, no, I would choose Frozen over Soarin', because Soarin', with that third concourse, has really decreased the wait times.
Yeah.
Or on the flip side, if you really just want to make sure you get maybe a late night Soarin', if you go to Epcot at 9 a.m., the Frozen attraction is open, even though World Showcase isn't open, and not everybody has come to know that yet. So you can get on Frozen, and the wait time usually isn't crazy. You know, a half hour in there is not too bad. And that would be all in Epcot. I can't think of another one.
Brian, what about you for Epcot?
Yeah, and I'd say Frozen Ever After. I mean, and I know that's the one I picked for when I'm coming down there. Especially because from what I've heard from you guys and from other people, Soarin', before that it would have been Soarin', but I've heard that the wait times have been cut down drastically.
Yeah, you can figure out that third one. And then I would just get Spaceship Earth, and Living with the Land.
If it's open, yeah.
Yeah, Living with the Land too, because sometimes that can weirdly get
because people will go see Soarin's too long and be like, oh, let's just go on Living with the Land, and that's that's where it will back up there. For Hollywood Studios, man, it's kind of whatever you want. Absolutely Toy Story, though. If you want to go on Toy Story, absolutely go on Toy Story. I always get Toy Story, Hollywood Tower of Terror, and Star Wars, Star Tours. I really don't think you need one for anything else.
Yeah,
that's the three that I always get.
That's really the three that you need.
Or you can get Rock and Roller Coaster if you really want to go on that. But you can interchange that for
really
one of the other ones.
I don't really care about that ride. I gotta be honest. Yeah. I don't really care too much for that thing. So I don't really think there's much in there. But Magic Kingdom, Brian, what would your three be?
The Dwarves Mine Train, Peter Pan, and
Yes.
Space Mountain. I'd say one of the mountains, probably. Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, one of those ones. Depending on the time of year you're going, you might want Haunted Mansion or Pirates, but that's depending on the time of year. Because if you're not going during a busy time, you usually never have to wait more than 20 minutes max.
Yeah, especially the Pirates. For those. Haunted Mansion,
especially for Pirates. And
Haunted Mansion at night, we've seen it reach like 35, 40 minutes. But, you know, that's on some nights, not all.
Yeah.
I would go with Dwarves and Space Mountain and Big Thunder. The reason I'm not saying Peter Pan is go early and go through the regular queue.
Yeah.
Because it's absolutely fantastic.
I haven't done that yet, so that would be my
suggestion for that. Go to Peter Pan early so you can actually go through the regular queue. Melissa?
Yeah, the interactive queues are really great. Even the interactive queues on Dwarves Mine is really great, but that wait time is still kind of crazy right now, so I would definitely get a fast pass for that. I would definitely do Space Mountain. I'd actually also do Big Thunder, but I'd schedule it purposefully at night because those roller coasters at night are really like my favorite.
Corey Hall asks, what are each of your strangest things to do when at Walt Disney World?
Not go on any attractions and just walk around. To some people, that would be really strange.
For anyone who's not a local, I guess that would sound like kind of nuts.
Yeah, but I really like that. I mean, even when you and I used to come on vacation and we'd like with a bunch of people and you and I would just go to the park and just walk around. Like, I really like that.
Yeah, no, I definitely dig that. Brian, what about you?
I don't know if I ever do anything really strange. I do like to just sit and people watch. Yeah. You know, I do like to do that. I just like to sit, relax, take in everything, you know, the music and just the people going through and have a snack and just hang out. I like to do that. But I go enough that I think I can take the time to do that. So, yeah.
I think I recently discovered my favorite strange thing to do very, very recently, and that's walk around with my headphones on. I just did that like a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago when I was in Epcot, and it kind of blocks out all the screaming kid noise and stuff, and mm-hmm. I was listening to Disney music and Wu-Tang, so because...
they're interchangeable.
If you're going to listen to something, the 36 Chambers of Death is pretty much... It's kind of a solid choice.
Classic.
So I really liked it. I guess I sort of got the idea from Madison, because, I mean, we have bumped into her, and she has her headphones on, but... I'm used to working with my headphones on, you know, for the last number of years outside of this job. I would always be at work for like 8 hours a day with my headphones on, and it was a way of kind of escaping from that job. So it just blocks out all the extra noise, and I just get to enjoy the atmosphere of walking around the parks. So I guess in a way, our answers are all the same, really. Walking around. You know, and again, it might seem strange to the people who only get to come here like once every 5-6 years or whatever. But I just absolutely love it. Sarah just raised her hand.
But it might be nice, even if you are on those vacations, or like if you're on a family vacation, like maybe when everybody's back in the hotel taking a nap, you just kind of walk around. Wow. No, you walk around like the hotel or something, and you just like sit in the lobby listening to the music. Because I don't know,
depending on the hotel you're in.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I love doing that in Kidani.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that at, say, like the All-Star Movies Resort. I wouldn't just hang out in the lobby.
But I have done that. I'll hang out in the lobby for an hour or so in the morning before we go to the parks, because I wake up early usually. So I'll go down there and hang out for a half hour to an hour and just listen to the music and have my coffee and just relax.
Yeah.
Corey also threw in that Doc Strange is actually right now his favorite Avengers film. He said maybe it's just because it's fresh on his mind, but while it isn't the best Marvel film, it is his favorite. Very cool.
I think it's right under, for me, it's right under Iron Man.
Love
it.
Cool.
Love it so much.
Robert Clark actually has second. There's no Bill, mate. It's just
no,
fun.
There's a Bill. There's he needs no Bill. To share it with his friends and, you know, spread the love.
I don't know what that means.
Share the podcast.
I thought maybe he had points at Grand Californian or something.
Then we need to talk. Yeah,
that is a mountain that I'm going to be attempting to climb in a couple of months. From an earlier thread, what is your? This is Ed. From an earlier thread, what is your favorite Disney song lyric? My all-time favorite is "I'm especially good at expectorating." It's a good one.
Solid choice.
It's pretty good. Man, favorite song lyric.
That's really rough.
That's a tough one. That's a show.
Yeah, that's a show.
Was another one I wrote down that was a show that we had earlier. I wrote it down somewhere. I'll have to look that up. You know what? I'm going to write this down right now.
Yeah, because that's that's definitely a show right there.
Yeah, because I want to get into like, what's your top 5 Disney song lyrics? And it can't just be the title of the song. That's
true. No, because I think we've done our songs.
We have, but I think my list for this would be different.
That's different. Yeah, I think that'll be different than my favorite songs.
Ooh!
Brian, is it that you never knew that you never knew that you never knew?
Oh my gosh, if I could take this bottle right now and beat you over the head with it, I might. You're lucky you're in Florida and not here.
When we were in Barnes & Noble's last night, they had the Disney Princess songs playing and that song came on.
Yeah, they had a CD playing, and I went up to the guy. I was like, what is this? And he showed me it. And it was definitely like a pop remix of whatever the first one was. Uh-huh. But then the second song came up, and I was like, oh, this is 100% Jody Benson singing Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I'm like, isn't this Jody Benson? He's like, no, it's like a pop star. And I was like, no, it's straight out of the movie. And we looked it up. Like, they were just straight out of the movie. There was like one remix. I was like, all right, whatever, fine. And then also, Ed said, you may have already answered this in the review, but with Doc Strange, did we witness the birth of another great Loki-esque Marvel villain? To avoid spoilers on the thread, I will say he was introduced in the very last scene.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my hope. That's my exact hope. So, yes, right on mark there. And then Ed says, Spider-Man 2. his favorite non-Marvel one, which that is that's awesome. Pretty good one. That's a really good one. By far the best of the three.
Yeah.
Arthur asks, let's say Bob Iger retires. Well, he will eventually. And by some fluke, you become the Disney CEO. What is your first decision? I feel like there's some gut reaction answers.
I can answer this right now. Go ahead. Strike Pocahontas from Disney.
Live action Pocahontas remake from Brian Bogart.
As long as there's a cute pug in it.
Yeah. And a rascally raccoon.
No, what would be?
I would honestly try and go after the rest of the Marvel stuff. I know it's not really Disney related, but I would want to go after it so then I could just start incorporating it here in Florida.
You mean trying to get that contract broken with...
Yeah, with Universal.
With Universal, okay. I didn't know if you were referring to, like, Fox.
Well, yeah, maybe even that. Like, I mean, you know, they've done so much great stuff with, like, X-Men and everything. I mean, you know.
Well, they have, though. There's been some really good stuff. There's been some terrible stuff, but there's been some good stuff, too.
But has the bad stuff now started to outweigh the good?
I don't know. I'd have to actually like put all those movies on, you know, on a scale and kind of figure it out. It's probably even. But X2 is really, really great. Deadpool is really great.
Deadpool's like X2?
Well, everyone I know, because it's not like your characters exactly from the book. And
I don't even care about that. I can't stand what they did to Rogue, and it ruins those first three movies for me. I can hardly watch them.
I just said, like, that. I know everyone has a thing about the Rogue.
Too much Anna Paquin, and I don't like Anna Paquin.
Not enough Anna Paquin.
Too much Anna Paquin.
I don't really care about her either. What do you think? What would, like, honestly, what would
I've
be
I've already stated
first?
My platform. No, I'm sure that's not, no, I would,
build a wall around Pocahontas.
Oh, yeah. I would love to have another park of some kind. I really do love an idea of a villains park. I've always loved that, and I would want to see that happen.
Mine would be man. And there's, I don't know. I feel like there's some answers, like obviously like attraction sort of stuff that I would say, but I don't know. I don't know how you do this or how you really like word this, but because you can't because of stock owners and this and that. But man, I really wish that there was a new movement towards the customer experience and not pushing the customer to the limit financially. Mm. To the point where they broke. Okay. You know what? No, I got one. Maximum attendances in each park lowered, daily attendances, so that every park is comfortable to go through and the lines are controlled more. Again, this is something that would never happen in reality, but I would never going to be the CEO of Disney, so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
That would be mine. I would put max caps on attendance at, you know, probably 75% of what they are now, even though they never even reach those numbers. That's the thing. I would have to look at what your average number is and then go from there, because I just think you could cut out 25% of that crowd and it would be so much better of an experience. And
yeah, because I feel like they were trying to do that with like the price of the tickets.
Yeah, they were trying
to
price people out, but it's not going to work because everyone has a lot of money now.
Yeah, people are just willing to spend that money.
Yeah, people are going to spend money because everyone's got some cash right now. So that shows because of how much people are, you know, traveling and whatnot. So... and then Tony actually threw in that his favorite Avengers film was X-Men First Class.
I like that one.
Yeah. My heart probably still goes to Superman, the original. That film just, there's some stuff that doesn't work anymore, obviously. The Can I Read Your Mind is insane, which is kind of ironic. The whole turning the earth backwards, but you know what, that's some sci-fi stuff right there. I don't know, but, you know, that movie is just such a thing of its time, but it also has such a timeless piece to it because of the way Chris Reeve plays Clark and plays Superman. I don't know if that'll ever be topped, although I will say Tyler Hoechlin,
I don't know, but yeah, in Supergirl,
I believe that's it.
Hoechlin. Yeah.
Okay, Hoechlin. He is kind of phenomenal so far in the small stint that he had as Superman. But I think ultimately my heart would just bring me to the first Superman. What about you, Sarah? What would be your favorite non, because I know a lot of people will go with the Avengers because it was like this incredible thing that everyone, that was on the top of a lot of people's list, but take that out of it. What's your favorite comic, you know, Marvel? Oh, that's true. He said Marvel. I said a DC movie. So what would be your Marvel answer?
My Marvel answer is probably Iron Man. Just because it was, it did exactly what it intended to do. And it kind of set the standard for everything else.
Yeah.
As for non-Marvel, you're not going to be happy, but the original Tim Burton Batman.
No, I like the first Batman.
Okay. Because that was like one of the movies that me and my parents watched when I was little. So it was like one of the first like real things there. But overall, have you seen Batman Cape, Return of the Caped Crusaders?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I heard it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's hysterical. And it's perfect. Adam West and Burt Ward. It's hysterical.
All right, I'll check that out. Make Batman funny again.
Batman Lego movie.
I guess Batman Lego movie is kind of, yeah.
They slammed their own live action people at the Comic-Con panel where they showed it.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Great.
It's a different department.
I just love in all like DC and Marvel, like the TV shows are so good. Majority of the TV shows are so good.
I'll say a majority because I genuinely can't sit through Arrow anymore.
Yeah, Arrow's torturous, and but the other ones are just, okay.
I know you like it, but I don't like Defenders of the what is it? Legends of the Galaxy? Legends of the Universe?
Legends of Tomorrow?
Whatever. None of those things?
I don't like that show.
I like.
Because, I don't know, I just can't get into it.
Don't think they have very good chemistry.
That's the thing, I like Brendan Routh.
Yeah.
A lot. Like, I really like Brendan Routh a lot. And I want to see him cross paths with Supergirl. And I just need a moment, just a moment, because he would have been a really great Superman if he would have, if they would have given him not just a reboot of the original Superman, which doesn't work nowadays.
Yeah. Well, he does. So.
Yeah. No, he's great. Brian, did you answer? You didn't answer.
No, I didn't. No. Are we talking about not the, if we're talking about,
I screwed up. I should have stuck with the Marvel.
Well, no. If you were talking about the Avengers, like the standalone Avenger movies, then mine would be Winter Soldier.
That's mine too.
And then if we're talking not Marvel, I'll just Hellboy. I don't even know. Hellboy might be Marvel. I don't think it is though.
No,
right?
It's Dark Horse.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And
which is actually owned by DC.
Yeah. Or Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. That was a comic book, right?
It absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And that's a great. That's a great one.
Those would be my two favorite non-Marvel comic book movies.
All right, guys. That's our episode.
Yay.
All right. A lot of Marvel. This is a Marvel-heavy show. That's what it was. Next week, we are going to return with Sword in the Stone?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be traveling next week. That might be a little tough to pull off.
Oh, you'll be back by Wednesday. You'll be fine.
Well, we may have to just record on Wednesday. I'll watch it Wednesday night. Record Thursday. I'll watch it Wednesday night.
Yeah,
we'll be fine. All right, guys. That's going to be it for this this week. Sarah, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
for your input on everything and catching edit issues like wet hands and stuff like that. And until next week, right now, you are listening to Nicey Nice. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/pogo. And you can find more of his music over at pogomix.net. This episode of Disney Magic Hour, though, guess what? It's brought to you by MEI Travel. Go on over to MEI Travel. Book your vacations. Book multiple vacations. Book a vacation for Universal Studios next October during the Halloween, because we're going to be there. Disneyland might be shifting to December, so that's why I didn't want you to book that one yet. You gotta wait on that one, because DVC points are like their magic to figure out where to put everything before you cast your spell. So go on over to MEI Travel and have Becky and the people over there set up your new adventure, as she is on an adventure right now. I think she's on the cruise. WWW Radio Cruise, right? Yeah, so that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
What else do we want to talk about? Who are we?
Who are we?
Oh, we're lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. That's D-I-S, Magic Hour Pod. Over on Facebook, find us under Disney Magic Hour. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Music Play. All of our episodes are available for stream across your various platforms at soundcloud.com/DisneyMagicHourPodcast. Instagram, where?
Instagram?
Where does it reside?
On your phone.
What's the address?
Instagram.com.
Nicey Nice's only song of a song. What is it?
At Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
All right, very good. Until next week. Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Sarah.
Goodnight, Sarah.
Goodnight, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo.
Look at them shine.
Captain Cabinets, trapped in cabinets.
Can I get out? Will he get out? Cause he will.
Jupiter, I did a song. You ain't got one. Yeah. Oh, I feel sick.